How did you actually get into politics to begin with?
Well, that's it's a pretty long story, really. My first political memory was when I was 6 years old, of the Tampa crisis in 2001. So we're gone back a fair way there, I guess. And although I was, you know, only six, so you don't understand the kind of complex internal and external politics that surrounds there, I did kind of get that at the heart of the issue, there were people asking for our help, and we were saying no. And that kind of really made a big impact on me, even as a little kid, because you're always brought up to, you know, help people in need, if you know what I mean. And kind of from there, I mean, I'm not saying I was a kind of a person who, say, at 6 years old, wanted to watch Question Time, but it stuck in the back of my mind as something that had an impact. And that kind of combined with the fact that my family was definitely one that didn't shy away from politics at the dinner table. And so once I'd done the kind of, you know, your regular, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a paleontologist thought processes as a kid, I came out of that into my kind of early teens, understanding that I wanted to make a positive difference in the world in some way, being really kind of inspired by the kind of events of that time politically. So Obama's election in 2008, Rudd's election in 2007 seemed to be the kind of area where, you know, people were making significant changes to long-standing kind of political orders through being involved. And that bundled up all together at around about the age of 16 years old when the Labour Party proposed its Malaysia solution. And refugees was kind of still, you know, back then, you know, something I got a lot more passionate about. And I just thought, no, I can't be part of a party that would put its name to something like that. But I do think, like, I want to get involved in the political process, and cast my mind about for a party that was talking about this issue I cared so much about with the kind of moral clarity that I thought it deserved and warranted. Found the Greens and never really looked back.
And so you're set to take over Scott Ludlam's position now that he's retired. Up until now, what's it been like working with Scott?
Oh, incredible. Scott is one of the most articulate and thoughtful contributors to the Australian political landscape, probably bar none, in the last couple of decades. And I've been a member for 6 years, and in that time he's been a really great kind of mentor and example and friend to me. So it's been wonderful to work with him, and it's a very sad time to have lost his contribution to politics, but whatever he does in the future, I know it'll always be Greens tinted, and the work that he's done kind of lives beyond his political career. And he, more than anybody, would be at pains to ensure that we didn't speak of him as though he died, because he's still very much with us. So he's been an incredible person to get to know and to work with over the years.
Now, back to yourself, you're a huge advocate for disability rights, and for those who might not know, you're a wheelchair user yourself. Mm. What sort of difference are you hoping to make in the Senate regarding disability rights?
Well, I mean, I've said it a lot in the last couple of weeks. I think that to be a young person and to be a person with a disability in contemporary Australia is really to occupy the intersection of some of our society's most entrenched myths and most damaging preconceived ideas. It's my experience, and I think it's the experience of a lot of young people and folks with disability, that these are so often the prisms through which our lives are viewed and our rights are framed, particularly in political discourse. And so one of the things I'm hoping and excited to do is to bring those lived experiences and those different perspectives into the institution, or, you know, one of the institutions that are crafting such massive pieces of legislation. and making such significant contributions to the discourse around those pieces of legislation. So to bring that voice and that perspective into those institutions in a real way. Because I think when we have diversity in that decision-making process, then we get good legislation. And so that's something I'm really excited to do.
And so are there any other issues that you're particularly passionate about that you really want to tackle once you get into the Senate?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I come from the Lower South Metropolitan Region of WA, and one of our long-term issues is youth unemployment. And I think that that's a challenge for young people across the board, nearly wherever you are in the country. You know, we've got a youth unemployment rate that is never less than double the national average. And that, you know, goes into the high 20s in many areas like where I come from. And what I see so often, which is so difficult, is that youth unemployment seems to condemn us in the present as young people, while at the same time other policy issues such as climate change is the worst one, you know, the one that's kind of most on my radar, as well as housing affordability, really kind of rob us of our future. And so what I'm hoping to talk about in the weeks and months ahead is a way that we can tackle those kind of issues in concert, because I think we can do a lot, for instance, to address youth unemployment through a jobs-rich transition to the renewable economy, for instance. But I think it needs to be framed in a way that recognises and makes clear that these are policy shifts that need to be made so that our generation can enjoy the kind of lives and privileges that past generations have done.
And so you mentioned before as well that you're going to be the youngest senator ever if you do go to fill on Ludlam's seat. Is that daunting at all?
Yes, it is. I think, if I'm honest with you, Tess, if I answered that it wasn't, I wouldn't be the right person for the job. You'd want to be testing my head and finding somebody else to do it. It's a decision to take up a job like this is a one that needs to be made after a period of careful internal reflection, because it is a massive responsibility, not just in the case of, you know, the day-to-day legislative aspects and the necessarily hard nature of that kind of work, but also as somebody who will be, if you like, will be representative of, but not obviously a representative of, you know, two such important communities. You have to kind of recognize that and consider whether you think you can do a job like that before you take it on. But I think, you know, having worked in the space for 6 years, I've done a lot of inside of politics, outside of politics work in both of those fields, and I'm really looking forward to, as I said, to bringing that voice into the Parliament.
And just finally, you are studying politics at Macquarie via distance. How do you plan on balancing uni with Parliament?
It's an interesting question. I think never has a gap year been more warranted. I will definitely return to it, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my time as a student at Macquarie, and particularly if you know anybody who's designed the online iLearn system for you guys, it is far superior to any of the other online learning systems offered by the various other universities that I've looked into. So good job there, guys. But I think I will balance that by maybe explaining to my tutors that I'm going to get a bit of on-the-ground experience now.